most of the all-star starter positions seemed locked down before we even got our initial returns on voting. The entire Eastern Conference front court of Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, locks. Western Conference front court, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, locks. Western Conference guard, Stephen Curry, a lock. That's just how it's going to be. Welcome to the Pro Basketball Talk podcast. I'm Dan Feldman here with Kurt Keelan. Kurt, do you have any issue with any of those players getting the starting job? Did you have them all as your choices?
Yeah. No, I know that they're leading in the fan vote getting as well. But to me, those were the givens, right? Like those were, I don't know who you're going to take on that front. Are you going to put Jason Tatum over Kevin Durant or something? Like, I don't know what you're going to do in the East and in the West. Has to be Curry, has to be LeBron, has to be Jokic. I mean, you know, we talked about MVP votes on the podcast just a week ago and wrote about it. And those are three of the five guys on our MVP list. So, yeah, they're going to make the all-star starters.
Okay, so let's talk about some more controversial positions. Let's start with the Eastern Conference guard, where I have a hunch you might put a fourth Eastern Conference front court player.
I will. I think Trae Young has earned one of the guard spots just with his play. Despite the fact that the Hawks are John Collins wants out dreadful, I think Trae Young has been pretty spectacular this season and has earned one of those starting spots. And the other one, I agree with the fans here as well. I have DeMar DeRozan in. This is one of those situations where on the NBA system, you can kind of only vote for him as a guard, even though on the Bulls, he's technically the small forward, right? Because I assume you're going to count obviously, Lonzo Ball's your starting point guard. Zach LaVine's the starting two, right?
Not only is he the starting two, the NBA considers him a guard also. So, yeah. I guess the NBA just thinks it's a three-guard lineup or something.
Yeah, I guess. So, But I think DeRozan has absolutely earned that spot. So my starting guards in the East are Trae Young and DeRozan. Do you have somebody different?
I actually do. I want to start with the Eastern Conference guard because it's a good chance to talk about some of our big picture issues with all-star selection. It's, to me, strange that they're even using positions. DeMar DeRozan plays more power forward than guard now in the Bulls' small ball lineups. He should be a forward, but it also shouldn't matter. Number one, who cares if they end up selecting 10 centers? That'd be entertaining. People would want to see that. Who cares if it's imbalanced rosters? The rosters get drafted anyway. These starters, it's not like you're picking one starting team. So it's up to the captains. They're going to have the pool they're going to have. And so just because one position is overstocked, plus to have front court players, theoretically, you could have six centers and four point guards in the starters with this. Like, what balance are you achieving with these designations? I say just leave it positionless. Let fans pick the top starters.
Like them to do that with the all NBA voting too, but I'm not optimistic.
I'm a little different there because there are different positions, there are different roles. Like I'm more okay with it with all NBA. With the All-Star game, you're playing a fun game. That's where I like it even more.
Yeah, exactly. Part of this is for me in choosing this, it's not just hey, who had the best last 2 or 3 months. It's who are the best players? And more important, part of that for me is because this is an exhibition, like, who do I want to see? And, like, I could argue James Harden over Trae Young, but you know what? I kind of just like watching Trae Young play better. Like, I'll enjoy watching Trae Young play. So, well, I can absolutely make a case for him statistically from the first half of the season, and if you're going to include it like I do, going back to last playoffs and all that. But the fact of the matter is also, I just like watching Trae Young play basketball, man.
So I am going to make the case for James Harden over DeMar DeRozan. And this is our opportunity to talk about how we select all-stars. And I think you're somewhat similar to me, maybe not quite exactly. You clearly didn't land in the same place, although you could look at both these players and it's not just about how you view it. But I'm looking for who is the best player. I am not quibbling about who's had the best 40-game stretch. Now, in trying to determine who the best player is, it's hard to imagine something more consequential than how they've played so far this season. It is our most recent sample. At this point, it is a decently large sample, though it's not huge. Like, I want to do who had the best season for all NBA exclusively. That's it. I don't care what you did in prior years. I don't care how I'm projecting you out. But right now, I'm trying to see who's the best player. Do you think DeMar DeRozan is a better player than James Harden? Now, I think DeMar DeRozan has had a better season. I think his clutch shots are highly important in evaluating his season, what he's actually done. I'm not sure that's sustainable. Like, I think James Harden is better than he's looked. this season overall. He's playing better lately. If you're just asking who's the better player, who would you rather have this season, knowing what you're going to get for the first 40-some games, knowing that it's going to be more from DeMar DeRozan, I'd still rather have James Harden because I think he's going to outshine DeRozan by that much for the rest of the year and into the playoffs. It's not a lock. I could look back on this at the end of the year and be wrong. It might be DeMar DeRozan's the better player right now. This is not like a huge difference. But to me, the question is, who's the better player? I think it's James Harden. So I'm going with Trae Young and James Harden. And I know you're similar, so explain to everybody a little bit how you pick All-Stars and how you landed on DeRozan over Harden.
I'm with you in that I don't want to make it just – and I know that other places did that. In fact, I know The Athletic put out there, like, who they'd make the All-Stars starters for this – not starters, like, who they'd – they did the same exercise we're doing, like, who should make the All-Star team. And they were up front, like, exclusively this season. That's all we care about. I'm factoring in a little bit of best player, but also more – again, it's an exhibition for entertaining, but I do factor a little more heavily, I think, this stretch. Who's been good this year? Who's kind of earned it? DeRozan, look, he's been good for a few years, and I think we kind of slept on how good his playmaking was down in San Antonio because not everybody around him could finish. That was those were not always the best teams. They had some, you know, they had good players, but they were also trying to, you know, Lonnie Walker Jr. and others were being developed, and DeJounte Murray and Derek White and all these guys. So I think we kind of slept on how good his playmaking was, and I think he's just in a situation where he lets that shine. And I'm waiting that play from this first half of this year. And the fact that James Harden, yeah, he's missed some time, but he started a little slow. And I think I don't really have to me, those three guards almost interchangeable. I could do the same thing with Trae Young, and wouldn't, you know, who starts versus which one of them comes off the bench as a reserve doesn't bother me that much. So I'm not going to quibble that much over that one, but I went with DeRozan just because I think he's been so much better, well, not so much better, but better and more consistent this year.
So I hear people criticize our approach and say, well, if you're just going by, you know, if you're not looking at what they've done this season, and you're looking at the past, like, why not put Dwight Howard in the All-Star game? You know, he's been a great player. Why not put Carmelo Anthony in? The question is, who's the best player right now? You can look at the past. You can look at multiple years in the past and judge who's the best right now. Nobody thinks Dwight Howard is the best player right now. You're not catching
Dwight
us.
Howard thinks Dwight Howard's the best player.
Right now. No, nobody else. You know, you're not catching us on something with that. You're not exposing some flaw in how we're looking at it. It's who's the best player right now. If you want to go with only 40-some games to determine that, I guess, but I don't think that's the right way. I think you can look at a bigger sample without going back a decade to see who the best player is right now.
I will also say I weight last playoffs a little bit more. Like, I think of this a little bit more as the last year, since the last time you and I did this exercise, since we thought about it. And so Trae Young, in this case, like, his playoff run matters to me.
So you don't care that the Hawks stink. The Hawks have a bad record. You're still rewarding them with an All-Star.
I'm doing the same thing with LeBron James, too. Like, in the Lakers, I watched more than I probably needed to of the Lakers looking bad against Sacramento last night. And, yeah, but I'm starting LeBron James because he's just playing out of his mind. I think Trae is a little bit the same way.
Yeah. See, to me, I don't care about how good your team is. It's an individual honor. And I can't stand the Bulls are really good. They deserve to have two All-Stars or three All-Stars or trying to, you know, sometimes a team might have no All-Star caliber players and eight really good players. And they might have, you know, a bad team might have two All-Star caliber players and just junk around them. Like, sometimes that's how it shakes out. It's an individual honor. Those are the things I look at, the things I don't look at. And I think everybody has a better idea of where we're looking at this going forward. So I'm guessing you have James Harden as a pretty pretty lock.
When I put this together a little bit, I mean, the thing is, and you and I discussed it a little off there, the coaches get a lot more, you know, fans are locked into this thing. Theoretically, the coaches are supposed to select two guards, three front court players, and two wild cards, but they seem to be given far more flexibility with what's a guard, what's a forward, you know, in terms of where they put things than fans do with the, you know, more structured voting. But yeah, James Harden is, but anyway, I tried to put five players and then, you know, the two wild cards. But James Harden was – James Harden and Zach LaVine, for that matter, by the way, were the top two reserves, and I didn't even blink. Like, they absolutely deserved to go.
So I had I didn't bother sorting out between players who are going to make it anyway. And I just want to repeat something. You made a great point earlier when you're like, I don't think it matters so much who's starting coming off the bench. It's something we argue about incessantly in the moment and don't remember, don't care about at all in the long run.
Were you an all-star or were you not an all-star?
Yep, exactly. So I have Jimmy Butler as a very strong lock. And I had LaVine in. I had to think about LaVine. Harden and Butler were guys who are like, oh, maybe they should be starters. I guess not. Okay, now they're locked. LaVine was he's definitely a reserve type of pick for me.
Yeah, no, I have Jimmy.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Butler as well. I think that they were locks. All right, let's get into a little more interesting one as we move through the reserves then. Do you have Tatum as a reserve?
I do. So my three front court players are Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, and Jason Tatum. And if you're going by the NBA's definition of front court, it gets really hard to fill out the Eastern Conference front court. So I slid DeRozan and that helped a little. Tatum is somebody who fits this idea. He is, if I'm doing this as an all NBA style voting, he doesn't rank as high. He's not shooting as well. Like, his passing has been off. He hasn't quite been there. I just have more trust that he's a really good player. He's going to be playing better as the year goes on. It's not like he's been bad this year. I don't think that's a highly controversial pick, even if you go by what he's done so far. But if you're going by how I do it, and I think how you do it, he's an easier pick. He's a really good player.
He is. He's absolutely a very good player.
You have him in, I take it?
Yes. And Tatum was, was in Tokyo, which is a lot. But if you're going to you're cheating on one part. If you're going to put DeRozan in as a front court player, then to round that out, you avoided the choice I had to make of a third front court player.
Beyond Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum.
Right. So Jarrett Allen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who has been fantastic this year. You could almost make a case for Mobley, but I wasn't quite there. Jarrett Allen, though, has been, I think, the second best setter in the East.
I would agree with that. I had him as a borderline pick. I didn't have to pick another front court player. Yeah. Is he your only Cavalier?
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't think Mobley is far behind. Mobley's a little more raw as a rookie. Yeah. Darius Garland, I think, is right there. There's a positional difference.
That was one of when I got into the last couple of picks in the East. I was looking at basically four guards and maybe Jaylen Brown in that mix too, because I think Jaylen Brown has got to be there. But I mean, if I'm going to make Harden and LaVine locks at guard, you're down to Drew Holiday, Fred VanVleet, LaMelo Ball, Darius Garland. I think you could go. You can make a case for kind of any of them.
Yes. Some I make stronger cases for than others. One I felt really good about was Drew Holiday.
Yeah, he's in for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you have him in too. He is a he's a phenomenal two-way player. He has been for a while. I think he deserved to make multiple all NBA teams, all-star teams that he hasn't in the past. He made that one all-star game when he was young with the 76ers. I didn't think he deserved that one, and then has been overlooked. Now he's in his prime. I think he's outplaying Chris Middleton, who I didn't quite have in, but yeah, was in the mix for my final spot. So we both have Drew Holiday in. I also have Fred VanVleet in. He's playing at such a high level, making a lot of shots. He's a good defender. He's a good passer. He's excellent. I'm not sure he's quite as good as he's playing. So this gets into, if I were doing an all-NBA type of voting, I'd have him higher. I was a little bit dicier on him. He might be a little over his head with his shot making right now, but maybe not. And also, he's playing at such a high level. Like, I have him in also. Did you have him in?
Yes, I did. And I barely ahead of – part of this was just guys I like to watch. I love watching LaMelo Ball play. But when you put the stats next to each other and the load that's kind of been on Fred VanVleet up there, I just think Fred's been better this year. And it was not an easy choice. I think LaMelo would be my first in for the person who, there will be an inevitable, I hate to say injury. I hope it's not an injury, but there will be an inevitable, somebody drops out, right? There always is a couple of replacements, and LaMelo Ball's on top of that list for me. A, because I just like to see him in the game, but B, he's actually had a fantastic first half of the year. But I just couldn't pick him over Fred VanVleet to start this. Fred VanVleet has just put up such great numbers and carried such a load for Toronto that I thought he had to be in.
Yeah, me too. So I think we've gotten through all of your reserves. My last spot was tough. I consider Jared Allen, who we talked about. I consider Domantas Sabonis, who's been all-star last couple of years and playing even better this year in a lot of ways as a finisher. He's not quite the playmaker. It doesn't have that same responsibility they did. He's doing a lot. You mentioned Darius Garland. He might be the best player of the Cavs. It might be Jared Allen. Could go back and forth. Bradley Beal has not been good enough this year to warrant it on that. But we know he's a good player, and maybe you think he just snaps out of it. But I think he's just been too below par to put in this year. Chris Middleton is not far off. He's always a borderline all-star. This year I have him out. You mentioned LaMelo Ball. He was a very close call. Kyle Lowry is somebody who isn't getting much buzz. He's still a really smart player. He's not as good as he was. He's past his peak, but still finds a lot of ways to help his team win. But ultimately, I land on Jaylen Brown. I have two Celtics in. That's what I'm talking about. Celtics are not a good team, but it's not because of their two best players. They're not a perfect fit together, but they're really good players individually, and they fit well enough together. He's good defensively. He's capable of scoring offensively. Passing isn't there. He can be frustrating to play with. There's a reason I have him last on this list, but he does make the cut for me.
I really don't have a problem with, like I said, he was second on my list of reserves, like with LaMelo Ball, who like I said, I kind of want to see. But I don't really have a problem at all with Jaylen Brown, because I think Brown and Tatum have been, like you said, they've been very good this year. And I don't – we can have a debate that might have happened in a Boston bar or two about whether you can win with those two playing together. That may have come up. But that's aside for this argument, right? If we're just talking all-star game, then I think Jaylen Brown absolutely deserves it. He's got fantastic numbers for this year. And at points, there's games you watch them, you're like, oh my God, he's the best Celtic. Now, you watch enough of them, you kind of come around to Jaylen Brown being the second best. And I think Tatum's just a slightly better player, certainly a slightly smoother player. And I feel like Tatum there are other gears Tatum can hit that I'm not sure Brown can on a consistent basis. But he's been fantastic this year.
Yeah. I mean, in a nod to people who do view this selection differently, I think there's a much more difficult selection between who has been better this season so far, Tatum or Brown.
Yeah.
Where I do think Tatum is the better player. I feel like we come into this, I think we had the same discussion last year where it looked like Jaylen Brown might have been the better player through the All-Star break. And, then Tatum kicked it into a higher gear later in the season and it became more clear. A few other players in the East I had, didn't even make my long list of those final cuts, but Clint Capella, John Collins, Miles Bridges, who has kind of tailed off after a hot start, and Bam Adebayo.
He's on my list as well of guys who, a little farther down, Miles Bridges deserves some recognition.
Bam Adebayo is somebody who, the way we view it, at least gets some consideration. I thought he missed not good enough, missed too much time. Like you, I do weigh in availability. That's a very important factor in how good a player is, who's the better player. But it's not everything. But I think he's just missed too much time continuing to miss time for somebody who's a near borderline pick anyway. One comparison I thought was interesting in the East, these are both players we both had out, but I think the LaMelo Ball, Darius Garland comparison is interesting. I think for a lot of voters, it could wind up being a choice between those two. LaMelo Ball is probably the more exciting player, gets his team out in transition. Garland, a little more methodical, better in the half court. Neither one's doing a ton defensively. I have them very close. I'm glad I didn't have to split those hairs. But for the people who wind up on that choice, how do you view it?
Boy, that's one where, again, I think you're spot on. LaMelo's just flashier, and that's probably, honestly, again, it's an exhibition. I want to be entertained. LaMelo Ball throwing, you know, half court, be no look behind the back bounce passes is going to be more fun than what Darius Garland brings to the table for this game. But which one would you rather have, Dan, to be the point guard of your future on your team?
Well, of the future, it's LaMelo Ball, right? He's younger. He's taller. I think that helps him in some ways.
Exactly.
But to me, it's right now, right? Who's better right now? And Garland's a little more polished in some ways. And I don't know. It's close.
It is close.
Were there any more of these Eastern Conference didn't quite make the cut players you wanted to mention?
No, you actually hit all of them that I had. So yeah,
I mean, it was such a long and open list for that final spot. Let's recap our East picks. We have the same front court as everybody else: Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid starting. We both have Trae Young starting at guard. I have James Harden. You have DeMar DeRozan. We each have the other as a reserve. We both have Zach LaVine as a reserve. We both have Drew Holiday as a reserve. We both have Jimmy Butler as a reserve. And we both have Jason Tatum as a reserve. Those were some of the higher up picks. We both landed on Fred VanVleet as a reserve. I went with Jaylen Brown. You went with Jared Allen as that final pick. So I think one starter difference, one reserve difference beyond the swap of the starter.
Yeah, it's funny too. It's like, you know, with those – I don't sweat the all-star vote the same way I do, like, end of the year votes, just because, you know what, man, if I vote for DeMar DeRozan and not James Harden, they're both going to be there. So it's like,
are we 100% sure James Harden is going to make it?
I think that the coaches will pick him.
I guess in this Eastern Conference, probably he's having a down year. And I think coaches tend to more look closely at, you know, who's had the best 40 some game sample than we do. His reputation in some contingents isn't the greatest. Right, he can rub some people the wrong way. I think he's going to make it. I think he's as close to a lock as I'll say where he's not quite a lock.
Yeah, I still think he makes it. And part of it is I just don't know who you're going to bump him down the road really for. With all due respect to LaMelo Ball, I'm like, you got to put James Harden in. So,
yes, LaMelo Ball, somebody else that coaches might not be super excited to vote for.
No. And also, yeah, well, I guess Darius Garland applies here too. He's like, LaMelo's not bringing a lot of defense to the table, but yeah, it's, you know, it's all-star.
Yeah. All right, so let's go to the West. As we said, there are three locks in the starting lineup: Stephen Curry at guard, LeBron James, and Nikola Jokic in the front court. And then it is some tough calls, maybe.
Yes.
Let's start at guard, where I think it's at least a narrower race. Who is your other guard beyond Steph Curry?
Yeah, when I wrote this, I wrote it for three things a little over a week ago. Like, well, who should be in this debate? And, you know, who should – at the time when I looked at the numbers and did some research, I'm like, you know what? I think I had Donovan Mitchell, but in the week so since, I've come around and I'd actually start Ja Morant now. Okay. Stephen Curry in the backcourt. Donovan Mitchell still makes the team for me, but I'm going to move Ja Morant in just budding superstar and kind of dynamic and fun and athletic. So he's had such a brilliant first half of the season. Obviously, you're rewarding the team a little bit too, because he's the only Grizzly I have on there this year anyway. I feel like that's going to change in a couple of years. But, yeah, I'll start Ja Morant next to Steph Curry.
So I'm going with Chris Paul. That's Chris Paul is better than Ja Morant right now, but I could be wrong. Ja Morant is rising so fast, and, you know, Chris Paul is not getting better at his age, right? He's leveled off at best. Most players his age are declining, although Chris Paul is doing a phenomenal job of staying in shape and staying ahead of that curve the best he can. But Chris Paul just has such a mastery of the game, offensively, defensively. He's in such control. Ja Morant is exciting. Ja Morant is great. I have him as a reserve lock, and I strongly considered him. He might be better, right? Sometimes we're a little slow to change our perception, right? Chris Paul has been better than Ja Morant for decades, and maybe this is the moment it has changed. I'm open to that. But I still have Chris Paul. And this is not the be-all, end-all of how to evaluate this question, but what do you think? If there were a playoff series where you had an average team in every way except for Chris Paul as the point guard, and you had an average team in every way except for Ja Morant is the point guard, who are you picking to win that series? I'm still taking Chris Paul's team.
At this point, I would still take Chris Paul's team. I think, like I said, I went with Morant for his play the first half of this year and some entertainment factor. But Chris Paul is – push comes to shove in the playoffs, I would rather have Chris Paul. And his game probably – just getting his ability to get to the mid-range – and use his physicality probably plays better in a playoff series than what Morant can do right now.
Yes. I think Morant is going to win the starting job. He's up to second in fan voting. I thought he was going to rank highest, maybe right there with Chris Paul among media. I thought players would have Morant have, but Chris Paul is seventh in fan voting. I don't think Chris Paul can overcome that.
That's kind of wild, by the way, that he's that low.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have the flashiest game. Devin Booker, his teammate in Phoenix, is higher as fifth. He's below Russell Westbrook now, below Klay Thompson. And, fan voting is what it is. That, there are reasons.
I love that Klay's not picking the
the be-all, end-all anymore. I do think Morant will get this job. And should mention, we talked about the lock starters. DeMar DeRozan is now a lock starter. I don't have him as a starter. But he is way up in fan voting. He's going to win the fan voting in the East. A lot of players will vote for him. A lot of media will vote for him. He's going to win that too. I think Morant is not quite a lock, but I think he's pretty close.
And I think he's a lock to make the team. Yeah,
a lock to make a team. Yes, a lock to start.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
not quite.
You do get the advantage coming in second in the fan voting is that does account for half. So what? Look. Let's be honest. The media and players are mostly there. Not to overrule the fans, but to just make sure that Zaza Pachulia isn't starting at center, right? Like, that's kind of the goal.
Right. I thought Ja Morant was going to win the starting job when he was third in fan voting behind Luka Doncic. Now that he's second, I feel pretty strongly about Morant winning that in likelihood. But again, my choice would be Chris Paul. You mentioned the Zaza Pachulia factor. If fans voting exclusively determined all-star starters, in the West we'd be trending toward LeBron, Jokic, and Andrew Wiggins in the front court. I have a hunch Andrew Wiggins will not be your choice for that third Western Conference front court starter.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I'm sorry. You blipped for a second, so sorry about that.
I was leaving you with, I'm assuming Andrew Wiggins will not be your choice for the third Western Conference front court starter.
No, he is not. He is not. Although I went with a teammate of his. I did go with Draymond Green. I think that Rudy Gobert could be in that case. I think Anthony Davis, he'd stayed healthy, even if this is a quote-unquote down year for Anthony Davis, could have made that case. But I'm going to reward the defense. I'm going to reward the Warriors a little bit. And I think Draymond Green has played just his passing, his skills, his glue game. So I am rewarding Draymond Green with the starting spot, that other forward spot.
I also went with Draymond Green. It was a real close call between Draymond Green and Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
We just did our midseason award picks, and I went with Rudy Gobert for Defensive Player of the Year. That is the end where they both shine the most. And I even said on that pick, you could flip a coin between those two. Offensively, Rudy Gobert is doing a lot. He's increased his volume a little bit as a finisher. Excellent screener. I know people get tired of hearing about that, but he is an excellent screener. It does that matter.
That matters more than – it's not sexy. Man, that matters. Just
you tell David Locke that it's not sexy. Gobert is a really good player. I do have him as a lock for reserve. They're well down in fan voting. because they're defensive first players.
Yeah.
And so they're not getting that same type of love.
Who is third in fan voting?
It's Andrew Wiggins now.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Andrew Wiggins make your team?
He did not. So we've already filled in some of our reserves. You have Chris Paul. I had John Morant as a reserve because we had the other one starting. You mentioned Donovan Mitchell is still going to be a reserve. You almost consider him as a starter. I didn't have him in that starter mix. He's playing very well. He's a good player. To me, he was a clear reserve in both directions. Didn't really have him in the mix as a starter, but it was absolutely going to make the team. And then I had one other reserve that I felt very strongly about, which is Karl Anthony Towns, a super talented player, having a good season, has addressed some of the holes in his game. I'm not sure he's the complete player everybody wants him to be, but a really good player nonetheless. I have him in for sure. Did you have him in?
Yes, I did. And I think part of that is, like you said, I think he's having his best all-around season, maybe ever. But certainly, I think he's been better, like you said, just defensively. He's not great, but he has improved. And offensively, there are nights he's really an elite offensive center who can kind of do everything. And Minnesota, I think he's helped lift Minnesota up to being, they're a 500-ish team, or at least could get there and is a, I think we'll see them in the play-in. I keep saying that. Who knows in the West? I should, that's not a prediction I should be making. But yeah, I had Karl Anthony Towns in.
And I agreed, if he had just said, I'm the best three-point shooting center of all time, I think he would have gotten more agreement. When he said best three-point shooting big of all time, a lot of people want to bring up Dirk.
Yeah.
I still think it's a discussion. I still think it might be Towns. Like, that one is questionable. Towns, it's a different era, right? Big shoot, better. Dirk might have been a better shooter in this era. But what they actually did, Towns has a case. And he's getting in his own way less this season, doing what he does well. Have him as an all-star. And then it gets a little tougher. I had Devin Booker, and I'm guessing you did too.
Yes, absolutely.
I had him in pretty safely, not quite as safely as some other people. He's a really good player. If he isn't feuding with the Raptors mascot and is focusing on what he's doing, he's even better. His efficiency isn't as high as it could be. I think some of that is playing with Chris Paul, who has a fairly low usage for the level of player Chris Paul is. I think that leaves a lot of shots to Devin Booker, but Booker's really good. Showed his toughness in the playoffs last year, showed his game translates into a winning environment in a way he hadn't shown previously. Feel good about that one. I also had Luka Doncic in. He's having a down year. Maybe if the Western Conference competition were a little stronger, he wouldn't have made it. Don't feel as good about putting him in as I did previous years, but this year still fairly safely makes it. And now we're down to one last spot. Since we've had the same players, I know that you need a front court player also. This was, to me, a very tough spot to fill. I had Paul George in until this report from Jake Fisher the other day about Paul George maybe being out for the season. Again, looking for the best player, but availability matters. And if there's this strong of a chance he can miss the season, I guess that bumped him out for me. When it looked like it would just be a few weeks and he's playing well before, and I thought he'd come back and be close to that level, then I felt like, okay, I can go with him for the last spot. With that, I bumped him out for Anthony Davis. We can talk more about Davis. And who did you have for your final Western Conference reserve?
First off, I'm going to be fair to Luka Doncic and say he was a little safer for me. I just think he's played better lately. And also, it's also, if I'm going to count best player, think about last playoffs and just who you want to see in this in an exhibition. Luka was a little safer. I ended up in the same place. I thought about Brandon Ingram. I thought about a few guys and ended up going with Anthony Davis, who, look, if you're talking about the Lakers and you're part of what you say with Anthony Davis is, man, he hasn't been the top 10, top five player. The shooting hasn't been as great. He hasn't been the guy they need him to be for this lineup and this roster to thrive. Still, this Anthony Davis is an all-star level player. He's still a really elite center. So, yeah, I ended up going with Anthony Davis as well. I think even this version of Anthony Davis is a top 15, top 20 player.
Right. I mean, he is somebody who absolutely would not have made it if we picked how a lot of people pick with who's having the best season. He wasn't that good. His shooting was really subpar. He wasn't as good defensively as he had been prior. He's been out with this injury, but at least it seems like his return might be soonish.
Yes.
And we believe in his talent. We believe in his ability. We believe he's going to get back there, and by the end of the year, will look like a reasonable all-star pick. And it helps that who else were you going to pick, right? You mentioned Ingram. Ingram's come on lately. It's still a long part of the season where he's kind of blah. I don't know. If you were going just by who's had the best season so far, who would you pick? Because I don't think it'd be Davis, but I don't know. I mean, it's...
I have to say the only other big I even considered, and I just don't think he's an all-star yet, even despite last year's run, was DeAndre Ayton. But he also had a little bit of a slow start, and while now I think he's really fit into the role the Suns need him in, and I think he can even be better in that role and you know, at least put up more numbers. I just don't think he's been an all-star. He hasn't played on Davis's level.
Because the majority of people go the other way, go by what have you done this season only, I kind of think DeAndre Ayton's going to make it. I think he's going to sneak into that last spot. He is my prediction for it. But I don't know. It'll be close. He's not an inspiring all-star choice. It's weird we get to the end of the roster in the West and feel so lousy about the picks. In the East, okay, that happens. In the West, it is thin. And a lot of this is injuries, right? Davis has been hurt. Paul George has been hurt. No Kawhi Leonard. Damian Lillard hadn't gotten mentioned yet. He's a perennial all-star, and I he hasn't been playing on that level. If it seemed like his return were more imminent instead of probably season-ending at this point, then I might have put him on because he was playing better before he left the lineup the last time.
What happened, remember, he got the cortisone shot, and then he played really good for about 3 weeks and then started to slow down again. And I'm not a doctor, but – you can kind of figure out what happened, and you know the pain med wears off, and it didn't solve the structural issue, and so.
Right. So those are a lot of perennial all stars who we don't have making it this year, and it opens the door for some other players. Anybody from the West? I'll throw in one more injury: Zion Williamson. Was headed toward being a perennial all star, and not playing this year, so not making it.
Oh man, I'm telling you now, Cam Reddish and R.J. Barrett in New York. You know that's setting up, baby. Reunion. There were a couple other guys I did consider. DeJounte Murray, who has not had – I mean, he doesn't have crazy numbers, but he's been good. The other guy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, has played really well despite how bad Oklahoma City is as a team. He's another guy I considered but just kind of was – he's just not on the Booker, Doncic, Donovan Mitchell kind of level, so he didn't make the cut.
So those two guys you mentioned, I guess they make my longer list of considerations. I definitely wouldn't feel good about them. Was there any consideration, any ability you thought slide Devin Booker or Donovan Mitchell to the front court so you'd have another wild card chance? So I guess a two-part question. Would you have taken Brandon Ingram's front court, but DeJounte Murray or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, would you have taken them over Anthony Davis if you felt you could positionally? And was there any chance that you could – I don't know if you could put Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker as their wings and so maybe their front court. I think that's too big of a stretch. I wouldn't have been comfortable with it. I wouldn't have taken either one of them over Anthony Davis anyway. But would you have taken them over Davis?
I don't think so. I still think I would have gone with Davis. But I think they deserved at least some – you're right. The line of demarcation in the West seemed a little sharper than in the East where I felt like we could really have debated some of the guys on the edges – and again, I'm with you. It's because guys are out. Like we're not going to have Kawhi Leonard. We're not going to have Paul George. Like that. That's too four. Suddenly, that forward gets much more crowded if you're bumping. Now Towns is on the bubble with these other guys, and it gets much more interesting. But this year, it feels a little more clear cut.
Yes, I've been a big believer that the all-star team should be 13 players for a while because, the active roster was 13 players. It went up from 12, and there have never been more teams in the NBA. It just seemed like if you're recognizing players commensurate with historically how you recognize players as all-stars, it made a lot of sense to do 13. And what active rosters are now 15 with everything going on. I don't know if that's going to be permanent or if this is just because of during COVID. I could even see a case for 15, and a lot of years I think that'd come in handy. A lot of years I think it seems like there are 15 players who are deserving. Again, it's not inflation. When there were 12 All-Stars and 20 teams in the league, and now there are 12 All-Stars per conference and 30 teams in the league, it's a higher bar to become an All-Star. Now this will just kind of put it back into line with what it used to be. And I'll say this year, kind of glad we didn't have to pick a 13th, let alone 14th or 15th.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, coaches, it looks like probably Billy Donovan. Did Steve, who coached last year in the East? Like, well, it was Budenholzer, right? So it couldn't be Steve Nash. I'd have to look this up now. Billy Donovan would be in the lead, and Monty Williams would be in the lead. But now I've got to look back and see who coached last year, because it could have been Monty.
Yes. When we talked about nobody cares who's starting an All-Star game, another thing nobody cares about when you look back, who coached the All-Star
game. Yeah, exactly.
It's like a cool honor in the moment. So it was last year's Quinn Snyder.
Utah. Yeah, so he's...
Yes, and Doc Rivers.
Oh, that's right. So it is going to be whoever finishes first. So it could be Billy Donovan and Monty Williams. Most coaches, by the way, it's funny. The first time they do it, they're like, this is kind of an honor. This is kind of fun. About the second or third time their team is... Their coaching staff gets to, is like, I'd kind of rather just hang out with my family. They'd never say no, but secretly, if they could choose.
Yes. And, you know, this year we'll see it. It's a little different for coaches who are older. We'll see how much players enjoy their All-Star weekends this year with it being in Cleveland. And we'll see what type of restrictions are in place come February.
Yeah, that's
COVID-wise.
That's another good question.
All right. Well, so we got our full teams. Let's do the Western Conference recap. We have all the same picks, starting at guard, yep. Stephen Curry, Chris Paul, and the front court, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, and Draymond Green. Backups. We had one difference, right, at the starting guard. Right. You have Ja Morant, and I have Chris Paul, but we have all the same names. We have them flipped with the reserves. We have same reserves in Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Karl-Anthony Towns, Luka Doncic, Devin Booker, and that last front court spot to Anthony Davis.
Yeah, it's like I said, I just think this year is a little more clear cut in the West than we normally see.
Yes, that's another nice way of saying we really fizzled to the finish there. Thank you for listening. If you made all the way to the end, it was not our fault. It was the caliber of All-Star candidates available.